Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
If you're hearing this, you're probably already listening to in-depth stories on BBC Podcasts. But did you know that you can listen to them without ads? Get award-winning storytelling from the BBC, like World of Secrets, Believe in Magic and Uncanny, plus other great BBC podcasts from news to history to comedy, all ad-free. Simply subscribe to BBC Podcast Premium on Apple Podcasts or listen to Amazon Music with a Prime membership. Spend less time on ads and more time with BBC Podcasts.
What's the bird?
It's the screamer.
The screamer?
The screamer, yeah. And it's a big bird the size of a turkey. And it's like the alarm of the Pantanal.
Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm James Harper, and I'm in a boat, slowly drifting down a river in the Pantanal, the world's largest tropical wetland, an area bigger than England. Our eyes are fixed to the shoreline, because in and amongst the green river plants, we're hoping to catch a glimpse of the Pantanal's apex predator.
It's like a ghost.
The jaguar. Driving the boat is Fernando Tortato, an ecologist working with Panthera, a big cat NGO. And for Fernando, seeing a jaguar is always a special occasion.
For me, it's one of the most beautiful animals in the world. And here in the Pantanal, it's a very, very special place because it's possible to see the jaguar as a magic place that is unique. Monk parakeet.
Sweeping into an inlet, our boat sails past a tree arching over the river, crammed full of birds' nests.
We're like a condominium of different birds.
In the same apartment block, on the same tree.
The Pantanal is in the heart of South America. It stretches into three countries, but most of it is found here in Brazil.
It's a very special place for South America with large populations of jaguars, giant otters, giant anteaters.
But these animals, which are threatened species, are running out of places to live. For example, over 100 years ago, jaguars were found in many parts of South America. But because of deforestation, agriculture and poaching, they have lost half the area they once roamed. For many animals, the Pantanal is fast becoming their last sanctuary.
Many species have a good population, a safe population in the Pantanal, and can disperse for another areas around. Pantanal can be like a Noah's Ark for the region.
Fernando and I have been on the water now for almost 3.5 hours. We've spotted many of the thousands of species living here in the Pantanal. The capybara, the giant toucan, the snake bird, the Jacana Jesus bird, famous because it appears like they're walking on water. But we haven't seen a single one of the estimated 4,000 jaguars who are scattered throughout this enormous wetland.
They don't work to our schedule. We work to theirs.
Yeah.
Fernando decides to call it a day, and we begin our journey back to base.
That's it. That's a jaguar.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. There it is.
It's a jaguar in the border. It's in the middle of the very dense vegetation. And it just looked this big face.
Oh, my God. Staring back at us is a cream and caramel face as round as the moon. Its soft fur flecked with inky black spots and a droopy jaw conceals powerful fangs. And as quickly as it appears,
and then poof, disappeared,
the jaguar crouches down behind a wall of water plants.
Let's give some minutes here.
We can't see the jaguar anymore, but we can hear it.
Yeah. Just up in the water.
No, it's a caiman.
The caiman saw the jaguar and jumped in the water.
The caiman is a type of alligator and one of the jaguar's favorite foods.
I hear splashing.
Jaguar's hunting.
Eventually, the splashing stops. We can't see it, but it's a fair bet. The jaguar caught its prey. Seeing a jaguar is a good sign for the pantanal. It suggests the ecosystem is in rude health because it's able to support this predator that sits so high up the food chain. But this jaguar's home in the pantanal, a UNESCO World Heritage Site, has been severely battered in recent years.
So here we are, we've just come off one of the little rivers, and I see a lot of trees that look like long candlesticks. They're just sticks poking out of the ground.
Yeah, because this area here was severely affected by 2020 wildfires.
These fires were the most intense in living memory.
In 2020, around 30% of the pantanal burned. 4 million hectares.
Fernando shows me a video of his friend watching on helplessly as fire races up a tree, the flames illuminating the thick white smoke all around.
Oh, wow, yeah, so these are tornadoes of fire and smoke.
Yeah, because the fire creates his own vortex.
These flames are going like 20 meters into the air. They're enormous flames.
No, enormous flames, and it's like a wave.
The fire spread very quickly, crossing from one side of the river to the other. It went on with amazing speed, so the animals really had nowhere to run.
Jorge Salamao Jr. is a veterinarian with the animal protection NGO Ampara. He and other veterinarians braved these flames to save whichever animals they could.
So many animals died in the fires. Frogs, snakes, many alligators, anteaters, coatis, tapirs. There was even a place where we found a group of more than 30 toucans dead due to smoke inhalation.
As fire rages on all sides of the river, some locals spot Osado, a young jaguar, collapsed on the riverbank, surrounded by smoke.
He was lying down, growling defensively, showing his teeth at us. And then when we got closer, we realized we'd noticed that his paws were burned.
As Jorge approaches Osado the jaguar, Osado gets scared and tries to run away.
He couldn't walk and was limping badly, trying to get up but failing, and then lying down again.
A military helicopter airlifts Osado to a nearby city for treatment. Below him, an area larger than the Netherlands is ablaze. The black smoke is so high and thick, the powerful tropical sun just a pale red disc. These fires will go on to kill an estimated 17 million animals. Osado is very lucky. Ecologists hoped these intense fires would be a once-in-a-generation, very rare event. But just 3 years later, in 2023, fires returned. Back in that boat with Fernando, he shows me the areas that were burnt in this second massive fire.
If we look in this forest, maybe half of the tree are dead now.
I mean, these trees are, 10 meters tall? These would have been very high flames, mm-hmm. Very strong high fires.
Yeah.
Fernando fears the pantanal could empty of animals if these intense fires regularly incinerate the landscape.
One big event, a wildfire, it's a problem. But if this kind of wildfire become frequent, become the new normal, that will be a tragedy. It will be terrible for all the species in the pantanal and the biodiversity of the pantanal.
The pantanal, this Noah's Ark for millions of unique animals, is at risk of collapse. to help me understand why, Fernando takes me to the Pausada Pioval, a tourist lodge on the Pantanal's northern border.
Coming out of the boggy grass and now into the dense forest.
He leads me down a short trail, shaded by the forest canopy above, and we begin huffing up a rickety wooden tower.
We just get away a pack of blue macaws climbing up here.
The platform winds up and up and up.
This is intense.
And leads us up and above the canopy.
Wow. Flat as the eye can see. All the way to the distance, just lines of trees and soaked grasslands.
The Pantanal is very flat.
Pretty much flat all the way to Bolivia.
To Bolivia in this direction and to Paraguay in this direction.
The skies above us begin to darken. Rain is on the way.
You can see the strands of water coming out of distant dark clouds.
On the day I visited, it was the rainy season. And the rains that fall here and in all the land further north in the Cerrado drains down into the Pantanal. And because it's so extraordinarily flat, this water turns into a giant, slow-moving flood.
It can take 4 or 5 months or longer for the flood pulse to make its way out through the system.
This is Dr. Stephen Hamilton, a now-retired professor of biogeochemistry who spent a lot of his career studying the Pantanal.
So it's like a giant sponge that absorbs these floodwaters and slowly releases them.
This pulse of water then makes its way through a mosaic of forest, grasslands, and river systems.
It remains flooded for months at a time, which allows aquatic vegetation to develop and supports a lot of aquatic animal life, reptiles and birds and fishes.
Pantanal without water is not Pantanal.
The Pantanal and its extraordinary biodiversity comes from water. But the water patterns are changing.
Right there, it should be more flooded. We should be able to be on a boat.
Down from the viewing platform, Pordis, a biologist working with the animal protection NGO Ampara, shows me a neglected rowboat sitting on the forest floor that hasn't been used in years.
See, there's a boat.
Yeah.
We should be able to ride the boat there.
The Pantanal is not getting enough water. Some key river levels have even dropped to historic lows.
Here in Ladário, we have 124 years of records. And this year is the driest year.
Debra Calheiros is a biologist and researcher with Embrapa, the Brazilian Agricultural Research Organization, and has studied the Pantanal's waterways for over 30 years. As she explains, the Pantanal follows a yearly cycle of intense dryness followed by flooding. But it can also go through extended drier periods that can last up to 10 years.
One of these long periods of 10 years occurred in the 60s.
But today's dry spell is much more intense compared to the last one in the 1960s.
Nowadays we have other influence like a climate change and land occupation is totally different from the 60s.
And the lack of water in the Pantanal might be because of what's happened 1,000 kilometers north in the Amazon rainforest.
And the Amazon rainforest deforestation could be a cause because the rainforest produce humidity.
It's estimated close to 20% of Brazil's virgin Amazon rainforest has already been cut down for growing soybeans, raising cattle, illegal logging, and building cities for the tens of millions of people who have moved to the Amazon since the 1960s. Fewer trees means less moisture in the air, and it is this moisture which then travels up and comes down as rain. As the wet season gets shorter, fires rip through the Pantanal more fiercely and more often, and the Brazilian government is struggling to contain them.
Pessoal, atenção aqui, ó.
I leave the Pantanal and drive north to a national park in the Cerrado. I attend a controlled fire demonstration organized by the federal government. Controlled fires are one of the government's strategies to save the Pantanal.
Tá bom aí, Adel.
On the sides of a canyon, firefighters in yellow vests and helmets shoot burning arrows into the middle of a forest.
There's a lot of ash everywhere.
The government claimed these sorts of controlled fires only do superficial damage because the flames don't reach high up and kill the trees, and the fire doesn't reach below ground, killing animals that are running to holes for shelter. And crucially, they remove a lot of the excess vegetation that fuel the uncontrollable fires that have incinerated the Pantanal recently. But this year, the Pantanal is so dry, the situation is so desperate, this key government prevention strategy has failed.
O Pantanal realmente tá seco.
Christian Bedlink, a fire ecology specialist, tells me the Pantanal's ecosystem is too stressed as it is.
Então, o fogo que começar agora tem uma...
Any fire that starts now has the potential to spread very easily. We are not even recommending controlled burns in the Pantanal because this is not the right time. It would cause more harm than good.
The government has few options left. They're advising local communities when they should and shouldn't start fires, and they've organized rapid response fire brigades to snuff out fires as soon as they start.
Tem algumas áreas do Pantanal.
There are some areas in the Pantanal with installed cameras that detect smoke and quickly send alerts.
But these plans may fail to stop the next big fire in the Pantanal. Fires can be started naturally by lightning. And many parts of the Pantanal are so remote, government helicopters can't even land. I asked Christian Bedlink, what are you going to do if you can't stop a fire before it starts to spread?
We need to pray. It's a good question.
It's a good question. I don't know. Mas a gente não sabe ainda direito o que vai acontecer.
We don't know what's going to happen.
But it has now been 6 months since I spoke with Christian Bedlink and was in the Pantanal. And unfortunately, we do know what has happened. Ferocious fires returned. By the end of October 2024, 2.5 million hectares of the Pantanal turned to ash, an area larger than Slovenia. Hundreds of species have been caught again in the fires, including jaguars. And unfortunately, the dangers facing the Pantanal don't end with fires, because a very severe threat lurks in the water. The plan to deepen the Paraguay River. This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
If you're hearing this, you're probably already listening to in-depth stories on BBC Podcasts. But did you know that you can listen to them without ads? Get award-winning storytelling from the BBC, like World of Secrets, Believe in Magic and Uncanny, plus other great BBC podcasts from news to history to comedy, all ad-free. Simply subscribe to BBC Podcasts Premium on Apple Podcasts or listen to Amazon Music with a Prime membership. Spend less time on ads and more time with BBC Podcasts.
I'm James Harper, and this is Jaguar's Last Stand.
Tudo bom? Você tá a pé? Você não quer entrar no carro pra mostrar pra gente as coisas?
Juliana Palmo, my fixer, and I drive 3 hours west to Cáceres, a small city along the Paraguay River, one of South America's major rivers that eventually drains into the Atlantic Ocean.
But smaller.
We're here to see the port of Cáceres.
Não, tá parado no momento.
The port manager guides us past two tall grain silos, an enormous warehouse, and onto the metal pier that juts out onto the Paraguay River. Reaching up and over my head is an industrial conveyor belt hanging high up above the water.
A capacidade de embarcação dessa fita transportadora é de 600 toneladas a hora.
It's designed to fill a barge with 600 tons of soybeans and other crops every hour. Looking down at the brown water of the Paraguay River, the water level is at 3.84 meters, which is high enough to allow a towboat to push six barges, each the length of an Olympic swimming pool, all lashed together. But in the month that I visit, there is a problem further downstream, where the water level is too low to carry these heavy barges, which means the Paraguay River is only navigable by these sorts of barge trains a few months of the year. And to fix this problem, there is a plan to dredge the Paraguay River deeper, allowing these barges to cruise up and down the river more often.
In times of insufficient water, it makes the problem worse.
But ecologists like Stephen Hamilton are very concerned. Dredging the Paraguay River even deeper will make it run faster, and that could dry out the Pantanal.
It makes intuitive sense, right? If you dig it all out, it's going to drain off more quickly.
His peer-reviewed published research suggests if the average river level falls by just 25 centimeters in the region of the Pantanal where Osado was rescued, the wetlands could shrink by up to 60% in the dry season. An even drier Pantanal increases the chances of those devastating wildfires returning, leading to many vulnerable species disappearing. To understand the enthusiasm for dredging the Paraguay River into a hydroway, I travelled to Cuiabá, the capital of Mato Grosso State, and meet the owner of a large agricultural business who claims to grow cotton, corn and soybeans on 12,000 hectares, raises livestock, runs 7 cotton mills and employs close to 200 people.
I'm a Heck Jr., 42 years old, and a fourth generation rural producer.
I meet Rick Jr. in his office, just off a major road. In the corner of the room is a fake plastic plant. He's sat under a blown-up photograph of a cotton plant, and strapped to his wrist is a luxury watch.
Mato Grosso é o grande produtor de alimento do Brasil.
The state of Mato Grosso is the largest food producer in Brazil.
Mato Grosso's biggest export is soybeans, much of which goes to China to feed animals who are slaughtered for meat. But Mato Grosso's agribusiness owners complain that transporting these goods is too costly.
Mato Grosso's transportation infrastructure has been our biggest bottleneck for many years.
The state of Mato Grosso is landlocked, and most goods are transported to the coast for export by road. Compared to other farmers in Brazil who have farms closer to the coast, for Rick Jr., it costs him more to ship his goods to market, and it costs him more to bring in agricultural inputs like fertilizers and pesticides.
If you transport goods by barge on a waterway, with barges that can carry 6 to 7,000 tons, you are replacing 200 to 250 trucks that burn fuel, tires, brake pads, and oil, polluting the environment and taking risks on the road.
Dredging the Paraguay River to build a hydroway will help make Mato Grosso's large agribusinesses more profitable. But it could come at the expense of the Pantanal and its wildlife. And so, a few days later, we drive into the state capital's manicured political district because I want to understand the state government's political priorities. Do they want to protect the environment or support business? I walk into a rectangular glass and concrete building to meet the governor of Mato Grosso State.
Bom, meu nome é Mauro Mendes, governador do estado de Mato Grosso.
Hello, my name is Mauro Mendes, governor of the state of Mato Grosso.
Mauro Mendes' center-right party won a resounding 68% of the vote in the last elections. His closest rival trailed far behind with just 16%.
What is the importance of the Pantanal to Mato Grosso?
Pantanal é muito importante.
Governor Mauro Mendes tells me he recognizes how important the Pantanal is ecologically.
Muito importante para o Brasil.
The Pantanal is very important for Brazil and for us, the people of Mato Grosso, who have one-third of it in our territory, and we are very interested in preserving it.
But the governor's actions suggest his priorities are elsewhere. His state government granted preliminary licenses for the construction of new ports along the Paraguay River, and he recently opened an export processing zone a few kilometers from the port I had visited earlier.
They said that dredging the Paraguay River will lower the level of the river.
I showed the governor Stephen Hamilton's research, which was echoed again in a recent paper signed by almost 40 Brazilian environmental scientists, who say that dredging the Paraguay River for the hydroway will significantly dry out the Pantanal.
How do you intend to dredge the hidrovia while at the same time not drying out the area all around?
Existem muitas teorias.
There are many theories. Many of them without much scientific basis. There is a lot of ideology, and there are many legitimate interests. But I, as the governor of my state, am here to defend my citizens, my state, and all our interests, including defending our environment. But we cannot give up on our development. We cannot offer Brazil and the world environmental protection at the cost of poverty and underdevelopment.
Ao custo da miséria e do subdesenvolvimento.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. The governor supports building the hydroway and claims it can be done without damaging the Pantanal. When I'm back on a boat floating down a river in the Pantanal with ecologist Fernando Tortato of Panthera, I ask him his thoughts on the planned hydroway, the Hidrovia. If the Hidrovia is built, what do you think the effects are going to be?
It's very clear for us as a scientist, the impact of the Hidrovia will impoverish the Pantanal. It will reduce the water surface, and I think the politicians need to know about this because they are just thinking about the economic reasons.
Fernando starts up the boat again. And as we cruise down the river,
the Jaguar,
we find a young jaguar taking a nap by the water. That's a jaguar.
Jaguar is sleeping.
It's just sleeping by the shore.
Yeah, in the riverbank.
I think it's having a dream because it just like moves its tail a little bit. This young jaguar reminds me of Osado, who was also found lying by a river not far from here during the 2020 wildfires. How is Osado doing at the moment?
We monitor him for almost 2 years. We get the data from the GPS collar, and he is a jaguar that is very healthy. And last year, some tourists take a fantastic footage from Osado jumping and catching a caiman in the water. And Osado is doing his role as a top predator in the Pantanal. And for us, it's fantastic to see a survival for the 2020 wildfires.
But, you know, with the Hidrovia maybe being built, with the fires getting more and more intense, like, what does that mean for Osado? It sounds like he's in danger.
Of course, because he survived from 2020. He survived from 2023. But it's like every wildfire put his life in risk. Maybe in the future, his luck may run out.
This might be his last stand.
Yes.
This edition of the documentary was presented and produced by me, James Harper. It was a Whistledown production for the BBC World Service.
If you're hearing this, you're probably already listening to in-depth stories on BBC Podcasts. But did you know that you can listen to them without ads? Get award-winning storytelling from the BBC like World of Secrets, Believe in Magic and Uncanny, plus other great BBC podcasts from news to history to comedy, all ad-free. Simply subscribe to BBC Podcast Premium on Apple Podcasts or listen to Amazon Music with a Prime membership. Spend less time on ads and more time with BBC Podcasts.